to page number 4. And what I would like to examine is basically the Gemara Masechet Yevamos and some Bezim and Alim. Actually, I did not do this. My daughter, it's possible, Chris, she wants to do the graphics. I'm not involved in these matters. Okay, the Gemara says in Yevamos, the Gemara describes there the death of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, and you probably, I assume, are aware of the famous Gemara in Ksubis that you may have even encountered this year. I don't know if you did or not, but if you did encounter the Gemara in Ksubis, you know, the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva actually came back first with 12,000 Talmidim and then 24,000 Talmidim. And so he had 24,000 Talmidim, that we know from the Gemara in Ksubis. And here there's a striking Gemara that the Gemara tells us in Yevamos, on the basis of the Aleph. I'll just read the entire segment so you'll see the context. The Gemara says, Rabbi Akiva Omer, Lama Torah bi'alduso yimot Torah b'ziknuso. A person who learns Torah when he's a young man should also learn Torah when he's older. Ayulot Talmidim bi'alduso yimot Talmidim b'ziknuso. Shenema babokis ra'at zaracha. Now, just tell you the background, the context of this Gemara. The Gemara is talking about the mitzvah of Puru Vu. There are three mitzvahs that relate to Puru Vu. One is the basic mitzvah called Puru Vu, that's mentioned in Chumash. And then there are two other mitzvahs. The Gemara says one is a mitzvah called Lo Tohu Berah, the Shemes Yitzara, a mitzvah of Shemes, of populating the earth. And there's a third mitzvah, which is called La'erev Al Tanach Yodecha, that's based on this pasuk. The Navi says, Babokez Raid Zarecha. In the morning, sow your seed, so to speak, little translation. But in the evening, Al Tanach Yodecha, don't let go, continue to have children. These are three separate mitzvahs. I'm not discussing that right now, that's not my topic. But in that context, the Gemara then goes ahead and quotes Rabbi Akiva with reference to the third mitzvah, which is called the mitzvah of Al Tanach. It says, Baboker Zrayat Zaracha, in the morning you should sow your seed, and then in the evening, don't let your hand, shall we say, stop. So he says, Rabbi Akiva, that if a person learns Torah when he's young, you should continue to learn Torah even when you get older. I continue. Now in the third line, Amru, the Gemara says, Shneimasar elef zugin talmidim hayula Rabbi Akiva. He had 12,000 pair of talmidim, namely 24,000 talmidim. Bikulan, I skipped something. Bikvasar atifras means literally from one end of the country to the other. Bikulan mesu b'perakecha. The Gemara said they all died in one period of time. 24,000 talmidim died, which is astounding. It's so, the figure is so astronomical, we can't even fathom the enormity of this tragedy. Why, the Gemara says? Neshalonagu kavod zelazeh. The Gemara says they didn't treat each other with proper kavod. Now, we don't really know what the details of that are, but that's not really what interests me right now, although that's very significant, obviously. The fact that they did not treat each other with the proper derech eretz. But the Gemara tells us, Tana, Kula Mesri Pesav Yanateras. When did they die? In this period of time. During the time of the Sfiras HaOmer, that's when they died. From Pesach till Ateras, Ateras of course is Shavuos. Omer Rav Chama Rav Abba, Bitem Rav Chiva Abba, Kula Mesri Misara, Mahi Omer Rav Nachman Askara. Exactly the nature of Askara, what exactly Askara is not clear. But apparently it's some sort of respiratory ailment, respiratory disease. Some say it's diphtheria, others say difficulty breathing, whatever the case is, they died a terrible death, 24,000 talmidim, during this period of time, between Pesach and Shavuos. That's what the Gemara says. This is the Gemara in Yevamos, and Das Samach Beis, Amud Aleph. Now, the reason why I introduced the topic, Avelos B'Sfiras HaOmer, because you undoubtedly, I imagine, are somewhat aware of the fact there are very few sources for the whole concept of Avelos during Sfira. And this is the only source. The only source is this Gemara in Yevamos on Samach Beis, that the tragedy of the death of 24,000 Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, that's the only source that we have. Because now we're going to examine the Shulchan Aruch, we're going to examine a number of areas where the Halacha has indicated to us that there is somehow a reflection of this Avelos of Sfiras HaOmer, and there are really three major areas that you're all familiar with. Let's examine the sources for them. One is, of course, marriage, not getting married during this period of time. That's found here on page number 1. A second issue is the issue of tisbareth, taking a haircut or shaving during this period of time. And the third issue is the issue of music. Those are the three main areas that the Avelos and Sviyas HaOmer somehow comes to the fore. And there's the fourth issue, which of course is Lag BaOmer. Where did that come from? So I'm interested in examining briefly these four issues, just to give you some background. But this is, as I said, more halacha l'maaseh oriented. I'm more interested now in just practical halacha. So I'm starting from, again, the middle of the page, or page number one. And I'm reading the Mechaber, and then we'll read the Ramah, which is in the italicized print. The Mechaber says, and this is fascinating, how the Mechaber presents it. Noagim shulalisa isha, the practice is not to get married, bein pesach la'atzeres. Till when? Ad lag la'omer. Generally, how do we call it? Lag. Why do we call it lag ba'omer as opposed to lag la'omer? And that leads to another question, which is a source of also a lot of discussion, because in Shulchan you'll see that almost every time, here you can't really see it because I didn't Xerox enough of the material for you, but whenever you have the language of la'omer, right away there's a comment of the Ramah, ba'omer. The Rabbi Soloveitchik had a very fascinating practice of saying both. Let's say today is the 10th day of the Omer. Hayom asar yamim sheim shavua achad shloshi yamim la'omer. And then he would say ba'omer. What in heaven's name is going on? Is there any distinction? I'm asking you. Yes. Grammatically, between la'omer and ba'omer, what's the difference?
One is in the Omer, which you did, ba'omer, and one is until the Omer, to the Omer, not la'omer.
So la'omer, you're saying, is to the Omer. Which Omer are we referring to?
Sex.
No, no. I'm asking, when you say la omer, to the omer, so Rabbi Olshin spoke about omer today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And what is the difference between la omer, ba omer? Ba omer means in the omer, and la omer means to the omer. Is there any distinction? Okay, that needs attention. Yeah.
Well, ba omer would be saying in this event, in this omer, while la omer saying until an event.
Okay. What you're saying has unquestionably some merit, but it has to be examined. That's not really the topic of Mashiach, but I wanted just to alert you to this very fascinating issue, what the proper nusach is. Anyway, he says, the Mechaber, that you don't marry between when and when, between Pesach and Shavuos, till Lag La'omer. Why? Since the students of Akiva died during that period of time, therefore, there is a notion of not getting married. Is this found in the Gemara that we cited above in Yavam Masama Bezmanal? No. This seems to be, if you will, something that the Mechaber somehow decided to introduce, something new, and we'll see that there are two other elements, areas of halacha, and as we mentioned a moment ago, Bob Tisparet and Giluach means shaving and taking a haircut, and the third is Mizu, we're going to examine all of them. However, the Mechaber says, till Lag La'omer, one cannot get married. Yeah.
Where does the Minhag of keeping the second half?
I'm going to discuss that. I'll get to it. Clean that. So now the Gemara says, so the Shabbat says, the Shabbat says, Ma Mesa Tamil Rabbi Akiva. Miu says the Ramah, Hagos means the Ramah. Ramah is the Ashkenazic mapa, as they call it, the tablecloth that he placed on the Shulchan Aruch. Miu mi Lag BaOmer ve'elach HaKol Shari. From Lag BaOmer on, everything is permissible. That's what the Ramah says. I'm going to get to Sfarad Ashkenazic in a few moments. But just in terms of the basic issue, which is the issue of marriage. So the question, where did that come from? So on the bottom of the page, the middle I just read is the section from Tafsat Gimel Shulchan Aruch, but at the bottom of the page is the Tshuva of Rav Natanoi Gaon. Now there were many, many Gaonim. Gaonim lived during what period of time approximately? How would you frame the chronology of the Gaonic period from?
End of the first millennium.
Okay, and when is that approximately?
500 to...
Okay, starting already a little bit after that, all the way till the Balei Atosis. That's the period of the Gaon. It was a very, very famous Gaon. Rav Soloveitchik once made a comment. He said there were so many different types of Gaonim, but his grandfather was also a Gaon, Rav Chaim Briska, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. And he said once, and I think half jokingly, his grandfather was a greater Gaon than some of the Gaonim that I quoted during this period of time. Okay, whatever the case is, it's quite a comment. What?
Because the Torah started and ended in Bris.
That's true. Baruch Hashem. You are a mommy. Excellent. So here the Rav Natanoi Gaon, he's a very famous Gaon, one of the famous Gaonim. There are those that we probably are familiar with. Which other Gaonim do you know besides Rav Natanoi Gaon?
Sadi
Gaon. Sadi Gaon. Any others?
That's
not during the Tkufa. I'm talking about during the Tkufa of the Gaon. I'm talking about the Tkufa of several hundred years. And yet, the only three or four Gaonim are known to us. Maybe I know a few more than you do. There's a very famous letter of Rav Shrira Gaon. That's a classic letter that goes through the history of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And he was also one of the great Gaonim. Others as well. I'm not going to go through some of the others that are also, but there were literally tens and tens of Gaonim that we're not so familiar with. Anyway, so here he was asked, Bishop Shalton.
Why is that? Did their works get lost, or?
The truth is that many of their works were collected by Rav Binyamin Menashe Levi. And there's also people who worked Dafka on the Tkufas HaGaonim. There are a number of volumes. He actually collected in, I think, 15, 20 volumes, all the writings of the Gaonim and the Talmud. And then there was another fellow named Rav Simcha Asaf. He became an expert on the Gaonim period. He wrote several volumes called Tkufat HaGaonim B'Safuta, which I haven't had read just here and there. I've done it with myself, so therefore, here and there, I'd like to read all these rather, I would call them esoteric kind of works. Anyway, so he had very fascinating work on the period of the Gaonim, how they differed than the other. They were like a bridge, clearly, between the Gemara, the time of the Talmud, and the Rishonim, the other Rishonim. By the way, there were hundreds and hundreds of Bali Atosis. We also don't know all of them. But there's a fellow who actually was a candidate to be the president of the State of Israel. His name was Ephraim Elimelech Urbach. He's really an academic, an intellectual. But, you know, many people here do all kinds of interesting things. So he was a candidate to be the president. He was not actually elected. He was not chosen for that position. And he wrote a sefer called Baliyat HaSafot, a very, rather heavy tome of several hundred pages. He goes to the different Baliyat HaSafot, and he was also a tremendous ilui, this fellow. We don't know the Baliyat HaSafot either. I mean, some of them, let me ask you, even among the Gdoli Yisrael of, let's say, our generation, some of them are emerge and somehow have the ability to somehow make a name for themselves, and others are not so well known. To what do you ascribe that phenomenon to? A lot of it is Siyata Dishmaya.
It's not that some are just greater than the others and the ones that are really
so. That is, yes, and shum something that you are correct. But there are some Gdoli Yisrael that are not so well known. That are not so well known, also were great Gedolei Yisrael, unquestionably, but they're not as well known as others. A lot has to do with Mazel and Siyata Dishmaya and different factors. Again, I don't know all the facts. I imagine the same applies also to Gaonim and to even, if you will, Bali Atosa and the like. I mean, of course, I am familiar with Rav Soloveitchik because I was a student of the Rav, and because to me, the Rav was numero uno. And to me, the Rav was a Magid Shir par excellence that the likes of which haven't appeared on the scene in several hundred years. I'm probably slightly biased. I admit I'm slightly biased. So everyone has their own Rebbe, and everyone has their own. But there's no question that certain people make a massive imprint. And again, with Rech Hashem, we've had many Gedolei Yisrael, and Halabai, Yimitz Hashem, we should have from amongst you also. We should be able to produce some Gedolei Yisrael. And Tamilei Chachamim, of stature, of note, I'm sure it will happen in Bez Hashem. Just a question of time. Give yourself a few years. Bez Hashem, you'll get there. So here they have the Rabbi Avraham Gaon writes on the bottom, Shashaltim, Lamei Mikachim Ein Kotzim Ein Pesach Latzeres. Why do people get married to Pesach and Shavuos? So what is the answer? Have you Yodim? Shalom Mishum Isur Nogu. This is not based on Isur. There's no Makar. There's no Makar in the Gemara for this kind of Avelos. It's not because of Issa. It's not also Nikra Din. Very important statement. It's only because of Avelos. Shekachavu Chazal. Shneim also Elam Zugin Tamin Vayla Rav Akiva. Vekula Mesim in Pesel Vatzeres. Umi Elsa. Shom Eilav Nog Harishon Biyam Melo Shol Nichnos. Because of that, the practice began, namely, not to get married during this period of time. But again, as Rav Nazrua indicates, it's not also. It's very significant. What's the din if someone gets married during this period of time? Unfortunately, people do get married in this period of time, I'm sorry to say. Although this probably is, in some respects, probably more, people are more medactic in this area than they are in the other areas. The other areas, people are very medical. I'm talking about both the area of Tisparet and Giluach. I'm not saying there's no basis, there is a basis. And the second, of course, the area of music that we'll talk about shortly, so that also people are more medical. Generally, people are pretty medactic not to get married, but I know people who got married during this period of time. Rav Asher is a famous tshuva. We discuss this, can you change your minhag, since you're talking about different minhagim, can I go to a wedding? that takes place in the first part of the sphere, assuming that's my minog, and Rav Moshe passes. Yes? Okay, but I'm not really discussing that right now. This is the first aspect, which is the aspect of getting married. Now, look on the next page, and you'll see on the top of the page, this is taken from the Beis Yosef. You see the top side of Gimel. Beis Yosef being Rav Yosef Ibn Karo. And he quotes from someone that you probably never heard of, namely Rabbi Yoshua Ibn Shu'ib. I think he lived in the 14th century, if I'm not mistaken. Matter of fact, the only psak I know of him is this. I'll be honest. Shatoya Rimaske. So he writes, Umashikosa, on top of the page, V'yesh Mekom HaShinogu Shalom HaYistaper, that there are those who have admitted not to take a haircut, not to shave. Kosov Ha'ari Ibn Shu'ib, B'drosh HaSiyah B'rishu Shal Pesach, V'chein HaMinot Poshut Be'inenu. And that's the makor for the Easter of what? Of Tisporet. Now, generally, when the Beis Yosef quotes Makaras, whom does he quote? When he quotes Makaras, he quotes the Rosh. He quotes the Rambam. He quotes the Rif. Who does he quote over here? Rabbi Yoshua Ibn Shu'ib. I have nothing against him. I'm sure he was an Adam Gobel. I know that. I never investigated to see exactly what his background was. But it's astounding. It's not what you call a classic kind of makor to basically interdict and prohibit Tisporet and Giluach. And yet he says, V'chein HaMinog Poshut B'yamin. This, as far as I know, is the earliest minog, the earliest makor for this. I think in the Ra'ah, it's also found, if I'm not mistaken, lo lehischatim lo lehistaper. Not to get married and not take a hefa. But this is a very striking source to quote. Okay, now you've noticed that on the second page here, I have under Lag BaOmer. This has always intrigued me for years and years and years. It actually intrigued my father's family bracha even more than it intrigued me. And as a result, we went to investigate this matter when I was a young child. My father couldn't understand for the life of him the source of becoming a pyromaniac on Lag BaOmer. You couldn't understand what the source for that is. Where is the makor? And there's a whole literature on this. If you're interested, by the way, there's a very beautiful sefer that's good to get to know by Rav Zevin, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, called Hamoadim Ba'alocha. And I was told it's in English. Kashamati, I don't have such a volume. I know the original sefer in two volumes in Hebrew. It's called Hamoadim Ba'alocha. You ever familiar with that sefer? It's Kedai. It's in the back of the Mesedish. So he has a section of Lag BaOmer on this issue, on the question of the pyromaniacs and the like, and all the other demons that are associated with that, because he was the author of the Encyclopedia Talmudit. You know the Encyclopedia Talmudit, those yellow volumes in the back of the Mishnah that really are just all encompassing, and you know, it's like an encyclopedia on different topics, an index of many, many topics. He's one of the editors of Encyclopedia Talmudit, Shlomo Yosef Zevin. He has a beautiful Hebrew style. He wrote many, many svarim, prolific author. He was a Chabad fellow, the real McCoy, the authentic article. And I actually was lucky to meet him when I was in Eretz Yisrael in 1971. I was once walking in Meir Shalom. He lived right on Rehov Malchei Yisrael. Right off Malchei Yisrael, and they needed a minyan. So I went into a minyan. And whose house was it? The house of Rav Zevin, at the time of the Rehov. So I was lucky to be part of the minyan. Now Zevin's home. His Hebrew style is absolutely, if you have an appreciation, you want to have a chush for the Hebrew language, he's the person, one of the people to read. I assume maybe you probably have read, there's a Rosh Hashiva in the Yeshivat Malei Adumim Korav Sabato. You know him? So he writes beautifully. I assume you read his novels in Hebrew, I imagine. Okay, hopefully soon. He has really, what is so attractive to me, besides, you know, Agnon, you're familiar with. Shmuel Yosef Agnon? there was a very outstanding author named Agnon who writes about Jewish themes, and he lived in the early part of the founding before the State of Israel was founded. Hefter was founded, and he writes about Jewish themes based in Europe and what have you. What an absolutely, I know, I assume you absolutely are to meet these people. So Harab Sabato Shlita, he also has a beautiful style, Hebrew style. He's a Sephardic background, and he writes about life as it was way back then, shall we say, back home in the on the home front. Okay, I won't get into it right now. But anyway, so here on Lag BaOmer, you have a very fascinating Balamor. The Balamor actually is quoted by the Sefer HaMani, but the Beis Yosef brings it. So he writes, Umashe Kasa, you see the right hand column? Umashe Kasa, Vyesh Mistapri, Milag Bomer Ve'elach. Why do people take Kekots from Lag Bomer on? Kekots are Abdomen Abudrohom. The Abudrohom writes this, Meshem Yimad Ayarchi, now in my shul on Shri Yishol Pesach, we read the Haftarah of Shmuel, the end of Shmuel Bet. And that's where you have the very famous discussion of Magdil and Migdol. And so the whole drasha of Shri Yishol Pesach night, someone asked me about it. What do you say during the week? During the week people say Magdil, and on Shabbos we say Migdol. What's the basis for it? So that's what I discussed for almost 1 hour on Shri Yishol Pesach night. And that actually, people were very interested in that topic. My father Shom was very interested. I'll just, since Harabi officially does here, I'll just mention, you know the issue, Magdil and Migdol? Where does it come from? So the Torah Tmima, this Torah Tmima I saw when I was 13 years old. My father Shom showed it to me in his autobiography called Bekor Baruch. So I read the entire autobiography when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, when I worked in the Brooklyn Public Library in Grand Army Plaza, right near Chabad, Brooklyn, New York. So I worked there, and essentially there wasn't a lot of work to do. We had to classify books, and it was over usually by Monday afternoon, and they told us just to stay there, do whatever we want. So the other people who worked with me were busy destroying, engaged in self-destruction and destruction. And I was engaged in going down to the sub-basement and getting myself an education for 4 years. That's what I did. I read Sfarim. They had a massive collection of Judaica. One of the Sfarim I was introduced to was Bekor Baruch, and that was a tremendous savior. So there he writes that really they wrote down, the printer, Birchas HaMazon, wrote down Bet Shin Bet. Bet Shin Bet means B'Shmuel Bet. But people misunderstood it and thought it meant B'Shabbos. As a result, they started saying on Shabbos, what? Migdol. And during the week, they said Magdol. My father thought that explanation was tavua. It was absolutely unconscionable. Does that make any sense? So my father went searching and found in the Abudrahom, my father, one of his favorite songs, Abdullah Abudrahom. You probably learned the entire safe in the course of many years in our house on Friday night and Shabbos. That's what we used to do. Abba Menel, and the Haggadah, Zeva Pesach, the whole Haggadah we went through. Half the Abba Menel's Perish on the Torah, probably the other half of Tanakh. All kinds of things. That's what we did in our house. Anyway, you probably had a similar kind of chinuch. So my father never went to Yeshiva day in his life. He found the Abudrahom. The Abudrahom has the following chidush regarding Magdil and Migdol, since I'm mentioning that. He says that Migdol with the cholam, Cholam Malay, how did I translate that? Migdol means Melech Gadol, and Magdil means Melech Katan. And he proves from Midrashim that Hashem on Shabbos is Melech Gadol, he's a great king, and during the week he's just Melech Katan. And then when we say Magdil and Migdol, my father was enamored of that explanation, and thought that was the explanation to explain the difference between Shabbos and the week, Magdil and Migdol. You'll tell your father, okay, and maybe your brothers too, while you're at it. Then my father came up with a third explanation. We were learning the parak called Kisra with my father, as we learned on Shabbos. And so my father came up with the following idea, that since the Gemara says that you don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, you know Ksuvim, what they call hagiographa? Ksuvim. There's a Torah to be in the Ksuvim. So since you don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, and the distinction between Magdil and Migdol, one is found in Tehillim, correct? And one is found in Shmuel, and one is Ksuvim. Therefore, since you don't read Ksuvim on Shabbos, then we have to change it from Magdil to Migdol. We were, you hear what my father said? We thought that was Mikorino. That I told Harav Soloveitchik, Zechen Lebracha. He said, where did you hear this from? I said, I heard from my father. He said, your father's a genius. That's what he told me. I told Rav Soloveitchik when I was in college. Because he didn't like any of the, he knew the Abudrahom and he was familiar with the Kor Baruch. But this he thought was very original kind of thinking. I'm not happy with any of them. I like the Abudrahom's expression the best of all. I mentioned here, because here's the Abudrahom quoted again by the Balamor, and Reis Yossi quotes it. Namely, what does he say? He quotes it B'Shem Eben Yarchi. Eben Yarchi is the author of the Sefer HaManig, Mishmosh Rav Zachya Levi, Chen Kostas again, Rav Shua Eben Shuib. Then what do they say? Shamati. I heard Sheish B'Medrash. There's a Medrash that says Shemesu Mi Pesach At Proso Atzeres. The Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, when did they die? They died from Pesach till when? What does Pros mean? We just had it. Achilas Pras. Remember Achilas Pras on Pesach night? Pros Atzeres. Pros means Prusa. Achilas Pras means one half. So they died from when to when? From Pesach till Pros Atzeres. Means essentially half of the period of time. V'hu tesvav yom kadam atzeres. How many days before Shavuos? 15. 49 minus 15 equals 34. Correct? They died in a period of 34 days. Now basically, there are 33 yomim shleim of avelus, and the 34th day we say mitzayim kikulo. We apply the dictum in halacha the gemara mekutin that part of the day is treated like the entire day. And therefore, that's the makom of the minog of Lag BaOmer. And therefore, from the beginning of Lag BaOmer, Lamed Dalet it's Mutar. That's what the Baal Amar here says. Shall I read the whole thing again? He says, "Who tesvav yom kadam atzeres the Amram?" He quotes a Mishnah in Shkolim at Pros HaPesach, Pros HaChag. Shem Chamisha Asa Yom BeNisan BeTishrei UShetase Chamisha Asa Yom MeArbayim BeTisha Yom. That means when you subtract. Correct? You subtract 49 minus 15. Nishar Shloshim MeArbayim.
Wow. That's
what my father was very into this explanation.
Where does he get 15 from half of
the test? Because the languages of the Medrash that is quoted by Rabbi Shua Shuib, that they die mi Pesach ad pros atzeres, till half atzeres. And the assumption is, before atzeres, we have... as he says, half of the month. That's the assumption. Chatzi achodesh, that's what you're asking. That's the assumption, half of the month. And then it comes out to basically 33 full days, and the 34th day, mitzvah kikulo, so then that's why you're allowed to go ahead and be mistaken. Look at the Meiri. The Meiri in Yavamas, and that's some of the days, and this is also a famous marker, but Talmid Meilu Huska Khan, Shekula Mesu Nipesach Yala Teres, the Kabbalah Yala Gonim. On the 33rd day of the Omer, that's when they stop dying. We don't fast that day. The Miri indicates we don't get married again till that period of time. Not to get married from Pesach till, as he mentioned, through Lag BaOmer. Now, however, look at the next column, the Maril. This actually, to me, is far more exciting. This is actually Maril. I also heard from my father's Chayim Levracha. And the Maril said the following: Omer Mari Segal. Al gav diisa the Gemara Tamina b'kiv v'leis in Pesach Hanatzer. Mikol mekom also b'yom l'amigim v'om b'yom simcha. Why do we make a yom simcha at Lag BaOmer? Mishum the base of Rakayam. Mishum ben Tchina. When did they die? They died only on the days that we say Tachanu. Only the days that we say Tachanu did they die. The Tamina b'kiv. And so now he goes and makes a calculation. Whenever Tachanun is not said, they didn't die. So now he says, let's make the calculation. From the 49 days of Sviya, take out 7 days of Pesach. 3 days of what? 2 days of Rosh Chodesh, 1 day of Rosh Chodesh Sivan. 2 days of Rosh Chodesh Sivan, he tells you. Zayin Shabbosos, there are 7 Shabbosos. So what's left? 7 Shabbos, 7 Yom HaPesach, 14, 16, 17. Pashu Lamed Beis, 49 minus 17 equals 32. Nimtu Lo Mesu Rak Lamed Beis Yomim. They only died 32 days. Lachem Shekala Osu Lamed Beis Yomim. Shemesu Osu Lamachrosam Simcha Bezeichem.
We don't say Tachron on the end of Nisan.
What was that?
We don't say Tachron on the rest of Nisan.
Akasha. Very good. That's a good kasha. This Teretz is very difficult. I mask it to you.
Those days
don't count. That's right. It's a very difficult teretz, but it's quoted by the Maril. And it's actually there's a marker for the Maril. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a very fascinating sefer. I mentioned it this morning. Actually, I referred to Rabbeinu Yeruchim because he's the author of the opinion that there are two separate mitzvahs: one mitzvah to count weeks, one mitzvah to count days. And the Rambam disabuses us. He says, "Don't think the Rambam and sefer mitzvahs kusam achalos. Don't think Rabbeinu Yeruchim is correct. He's not right. He's wrong." Okay, that is a separate shir, but he also holds you make two separate brachas, one bracha on Yomim, one bracha on Shavuos. The one who discussed it is the most beautiful sefer in the world. You have to spend a lifetime trying that sefer. Rabbi Yochum Bishol Perla, Rabbi Pershav, Sadigov. It's only 3 volumes, probably about 5,000-6,000 pages. Anyway, but on this issue of Sviya Sa'omer, there's a lengthy discussion, a lengthy discussion. He actually sat in Vilna until he was discovered. They don't want Kent Eretz, he came to Sholayim actually, and they published his sefer. Very beautiful sefer. Rav Sadigon, Rav Shechter, always Rav Heschel Shechter from the Yeshivas Avodah Zarchanan, always says, Rav Sadie Gaon wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs, the whole thing is 500 lines. He took those 500 lines and made 5,000-6,000 pages out of the 500 lines of Rav Sadie Gaon's Sefer HaMitzvahs. So he writes, Avodah Yeruchim, he looks at the Umbra with Texas, but I'm interested actually now. There's a very famous Ramo. I'm not going to go into all the details now, but I'll just, you mentioned earlier there. How many minhagim are there regarding Sfira in terms of how we observe Sfira? There's probably, I would call them two major minhagim, and then there's a third minhag. What are the two major minhagim? I think you mentioned them. One is for Pesach till Lag BaOmer, and the other one is for Rosh Chodesh Iyar till when?
Sure.
Till Shavuos. Now, where did that come from? That second minhag. There's actually a third minhag. I think Sfardim, I have my name with Sfardim who keep the entire sphere. The Gemara says, Meisuvi Pesach Aratzavs. So what's the makar klal for, shall we say, I'm not sure, that's your practice? No. The first practice you follow.
Till
I'm a dal. Okay, like the mechaber. Machon to mechaber amal. But anyway, whatever the case is, that the there is a practice to go from Rosh Chodesh Iyar till Shavuos, which is also 33 days. What's the makar for that? I mean, I think you said it a moment ago. There should be avelos in Chodesh Nisan. That's the problem. And the Ramah also, if you take a look at the Ramah, in Tzavsadi Gimel, you see the Ramah here, directly below, in number, what number is it? Number 10. V'harmi v'kobos nogim l'istabri av Rosh Chodesh Iyar, v'osam, those people should not take a yegam elag l'am gimel v'omer v'elach, al v'shamudda l'istabri av l'am gimel v'omer v'atzmo, v'osam v'kobos nogim l'istabri av l'am gimel v'omer v'elach, l'istabri klo lach ha-pesach ad lag v'omer, ולא ינהג בעיר אחס מקצת מן הגזע, מקצת מן הגזע, ושווה איזה גר אותו. וכל שכן שאין לי נוגע את המשתה. I'm not going to get into that. But you see from this Ramah, that, I mean, he was concerned apparently the Ramah, from what I understand, is the issue of Avelos and Chodesh Nisan. That's what the second Minog came about. At the bottom of the page, he said, took the Sefer Adoros, one of my favorite Svarim. The Sefer Adoros, my father also introduced me to the Sefer, and I saw it actually in that library in Brooklyn. So he has here, this is a very, very famous issue. There were many gzeros that took place during this period of time. Okay, I really just need a separate shiur to discuss all these gzeros and what the position of the building going is, as opposed to the Ramah. There's a very, he, Rav Avadya Zatzal, has a lot of discussion on these gzeros. But you look here, he writes, the hoyu gzeros roski holfa notsim la milcham al Yushalayim neged ha-turgamin. And again, the same kilo that we know from the Middle Ages, namely Bispira, Vermaisa, Magensa, Metz, Fez, Vayigzeret, Vahamarot, Vahamigot, Dalot, Bichodeshir, Al Chodeshav. So that's also, there's a question actually after the Shoah, Atzi Yehuda Cook, I heard this from him myself in 1971. He said that you could say Avarachamim every Shabbos, after the Shoah. So half people say, half the people don't say. You ask the question, what's the minhag? The answer is machlokes. And every yes, so what's the minhag? Minhag is to have machlokes. And there's always a makom come out for every position. But whatever the case is, during the Maaseh Tzlav, the medieval period, I assume you do read Jewish history of the medieval period. That's very fascinating.
Of course.
You know, there's a fellow, Rabbi Beryl Wein. He's really outstanding. He's kedai for you if you have, again, I know you're very busy learning Shas, but I'm saying, but in your spare time, perhaps, when Gabra the Gabra, he has Jewish history tapes that are outstanding. Not that I have such a Rikesher, not that I really heard any of that, but I heard him speak a number of times on Jewish history topics, and he's really amazing, and he has a lot of discussion on these issues. I wanted to mention here, since I started already, another famous Pri Chodesh that Rabbi Yifrit is very familiar with. The Pri Chodesh Yes Tekasha. He says, he asks on Lag BaOmer, what's the nature of the simcha? They stop dying Lag BaOmer. They all die. So we should have a simcha? What a kasha. You hear that kasha? 24,000 tell me they die. No one remains. Okay, they stopped dying. So now we have a simcha. The Efshah. Sha'asimcha yalosim tamidim sha'osim v'harag avakiva shalom esu ke'elu. Very, if you have used deity, tirutz, dachuk ma'od. Namely, what is the simcha about? The Talmidim who were added subsequently, Baruch Hashem, who did not die. Okay, so I want to now, perhaps, I was going to discuss the issue of Tisporah, but that needs a lot of discussion, and I, maybe I'll just briefly...
Hey, the one that didn't die?
Because he added Talmidim. Talmidim were added. You look at the next... Gemara in the Baba Samach Vez Madam, you see the next below the Brichadosh? Shnei Masa El Zubi Talmidim Hoda Amekiva, Mikvasa Ratipras, Kula Mesu, Nashalana, Kavu Zela Zeh, Vahoya Ha'olam Shomein, the world was Dezla Shabbat, Amekiva Eitzel, Amasin Shabbatarim, Risham Lehem, and these are the new Talmidim that came out, namely, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar, Ben Shavua, Ve'ein Nein, Ne'emid, Lutar, Rav Sashar, the Gemara Tzadetin, Pei'vah, the Gemara says, Stam Asnis Rav Meir, Stam Tesef, Rav Chemin, Stam Sifra, Rav Yehuda, these are Talmidim Amekiva. Stam Sifrei Rav Shimon, Bekula Liyad Rav Akiva. It's a very famous Gemara. So he added the Talmidim, and because of those Talmidim that were added, that's why you have the idea of the Simcha of Lag BaOmer. We'll mention just one or two more things that with reference to the issue of, let's say, Giluach and Tisporah. You're probably familiar that the Minhag HaYeshivas is not to shave or take a haircut during this period of time. I see, Baruch Hashem, most of you, if not all of you, are very basically in sync with that practice. Rav Soloveitchik had a different position on the matter, and the Lefi Adi Yisdaiti, his position is impeccable. Impeccable means there's no way you can actually question the logic of his position. And he argues very simply that the Avelos of Sfiyas Omer, you know, there are different types of Avelos. There's Avelos on the day of Misa, there's Avelos of Shiva, there's Avelos of Shloshim, Avelos of Yubei Chodesh. So which of these areas of Avelos is Sfiyas Omer, the Avelos of Sfiyas Omer, comparable to? So the Rav said, certainly it's not Yom HaMisa, certainly it's not Shiva, certainly it's not Shloshim. The Pashas is what? Avelos of Yubei Chodesh. It's the period of 12 months when, God forbid, a person, a father, a mother, passes away, then you're obligated to be noig
habeilus. Aren't you allowed to shave and get a haircut?
What was that?
Aren't you allowed to shave and get a haircut within those 12 months?
So that's the point. I mean, the halacha is that the shear is what the Gemara says, Ache yigaru bo chavero. When they say to you, you look disheveled, the meaning is to wait 3 months. There are different minhagim. But whatever the case is, once the shear of gara comes, during the 12 months, as you indicated, that of course you can go ahead and you can shave. So therefore, the Rav's assumption is that, depending on the person, sometimes the person actually becomes disheveled after a day or two of not shaving, other people a bit longer. But certainly by Erev Shabbos, the Chod Shabbos, there's no reason lo litgalech, no reason not to shave. So I'll let you know that you can shave Erev Shabbos in the course of Sfira. And if I'm not mistaken, Moreno Rabbeinu, Avayim v'chansin shlita, that's what he's made of. That's his practice, that actually, Roshiva v'shivat ha'vetzion, he's actually misgaleach l'chvot Shabbos, he actually keeps the entire sphere, that's his practice. And Harav Agrenda Herschel Shechter also has a similar kind of practice. So the Mimim Gedol Yisrael, however, the Olam HaYeshivas had not accepted this, shall we say, these kulis, and the Minhag HaYeshivas is to go ahead and essentially not shave during this period of time. Even not the Chod Shabbos. Question is why?
They had beards anyways.
That's one approach. So I asked a very popular Rosh Hashiva, one of the Dolei Ador, many years ago, this question, and he told me, first I told him the logic of Asolvechim, and he told me, Moed Mistabeh. Very logical, what the Rav said, but he said, if we were to follow the Rav's tack, we won't see any Avelos of Sfira B'chal. The whole thing will be bottom of bottom, Gafadar. Makwado Omer ala Tshuva Azot. And Ilo, Zelosi Pekoti. I'll be honest with you. That answer that he told me. But in terms of the Kvot Shabbos, as I said, it would seem that This is the basis for our Salih's position. Okay, I mean, there's lots to talk about that issue, but I'm not doing it right now. I just want to just mention one or two more things since I don't want to get this, and that's the issue. I'm not discussing Tisbara. You can take a look on page 3. I have a lot to say about this topic, but it needs a separate shiur. Please, no matter, I'll give it. The issue of music. I just want to comment on music, because that's something that is, I was told, Chai Nefesh. Anyway, there are many tshuvas. I just have here a few of them that I collected. We left them for this matter. See, you see the way it says, a tshuva of Igus Moshe, Shut Igus Moshe, Chalak Yodem, Beis Amoshe actually discusses this issue. B'shmias klei shir liyachid b'me'as fiyah of Tisbar li'isha. With Dvar Shmias klei shir b'me'as fiyah, Yesh l'esor gam avayik shu b'atzmo. Amoshe is very machmir. You can't listen to music, musical instruments during sfira. The Haber Rabbim should listen to the Yisirah, Mistava Shafir Ramah, Shemek, Lebi Shere Rogel, Shere Beis HaMishneh, Nira Sheyesa, Bekeep, Mitz Rabbim should Kavon HaSimple Yisirah, Gam HaChal HaShem. That if it's a group of people gathered together, which is for what purpose? Simple Yisirah, he says, May even be also Kal HaShem HaKulam, Kena Minu Shere, Tzos HaMi HaSirah, Hu Af Liyachat, Shere Rogel Lehem. So he's Machmir, he's even Machmir. I heard from Shimon Ayu Zatzal, he's Machmir even on music that was recorded, according to Rav Moshe. I asked Rav Shlomo Miller Shlita many years ago about, what is that called? A cappella. He said, it's awesome. Rav Shlomo Amar, I asked Adav Bipam, Shlita, he told me, it's awesome. They're very machmir, as the issue of music in the sphere. In the Chavad Da'as of Rav Avadi Yosef Zatzal, notice that he writes the next piece, the chen yizira achlanum the nar, yikudum mechalas yitzvara me'asvira b'sviras v'mshus. What should you not do? Dancing. And a kind of full... the full orchestra, if you will. But the chayin afan noagim lahokin l'shmua shirim b'livui kli zemah derech haradio aleim li'imanam l'shmua kli shirim b'mei asfira. K'moshe kosev v'shut kapi Aaron Epstein v'shut Igros Meshe v'shut Michas Yitzchak. So he takes a tack, even listening to music on the radio with musical instruments, that one should not do so during the sfira. I continue, the next tshuva of the Igros Moshe. A person wants to learn how to play a musical instrument. That's a musician certainly can play during the sfira. It's hard to know. I mean, I assume every musician certainly has hanor for the music that they play. Even when they're teaching someone, though, they're teaching someone how to play a musical instrument, I assume there is some degree of hanor. Or it's purely professional kind of aptitude. Anyway, Rav Moshe distinguished it between if it's your panasa, it's permissible. However, at the bottom of the page here, there are more fascinating things. I saw in Tchumen an article by Rav Shlomo Dachovsky, who was a dayan in the Bezal HaGadol. He's also a lawyer, actually. He retired recently, unfortunately. And he writes over there the following. Nimtza, Shemuzika Klasik, Lemashal. Classical music. Sheina musika hamaviyah l'rikudim v'mecholot. Now, the way that he defines the Isser, only if the music is going to lead you to what? To start dancing in the streets. But if you listen to Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and that is classical music, there is no other music that you're fully aware of. What you listen to is pure cacophony. That's why it's all good. There's no problem whatsoever. It's all cacophony. It has absolutely no connection to music that I'm familiar with. So it says here that if it will not lead you to dancing and singing, that's permissible. Which means the following. If a person is exercising, you're doing your aerobatics, whatever you do, what do you do?
Exercise.
Okay, you're doing your somersaults. And you must do it to music that is permissible. Or you're exercising, or you're jogging, or you're running, or you're working, and you can't work without music. That is not music that's going to lead you to singing and dancing. And therefore, that music is permissible. People driving in a car and don't want their nerves to be frazzled because they're driving in Boston, or perhaps in New York, or maybe even in Israel. And therefore, that would be a basis to listen to music under those circumstances, because the kavana, the intent of that music is to calm your frazzled nerves, and not for the purpose of singing and dancing in the streets and the like. It's interesting that this, on the one hand, this is probably the position which is, I imagine, most popular, I would tend to think, at least in the circles that I'm traveling in right now. You'll take a look at the other column. You'll see from the stipla, Or Masaveinu, which I definitely went looking for. And there he says, Shalt is my Rebbe, Imuta lo shir, Bimei Asfira, Unleash the Limsa Isa, Rak Machatzel Tzvos, the Klein Gira, Osim, all of you use musical instruments. Sipu the Agon of Chaim Kanievsky, Shebeveisam, Osar Oviv, Marinu, Rabbeinu, lo shir Bimei Asfira, Rak Machatzel Tzvos. Even to sing, they were machmir over there in Rav Chaim Kanievsky's house. Only on Shabbos they were makel to sing Zmiras of Shabbos. Wow.
And then,
Yeah.
If you're Shoresh, how long is Shoresh considered Shabbos?
You're asking why only on Shabbos was there a hetter to sing Zmiras of Shabbos? Is there a dinner Simcha on Rosh Chodesh? I mean, there's no dinner Simcha on Shabbos except according to our Salvation's favorite Sifrei. We have some chasim, Zewa Shabbos. That tasting subis. You know that tasting subis? Mem Vov.
Captain,
oh, sorry. Anyway, so tasting subis discussed this question. The issue of Tosefis. That's what he's talking about, Tosefis Yom Tov. The famous Jubilee, the Tziv, a whole discussion on that topic. The very famous tasting subis. Rabbi Ganak has a whole shekel tell you about this. Very nice in the Sefer, Shoshani. You know that Sefer? Put out this nice little red song. He gave it to me, otherwise I wouldn't have any kesher with it. But actually, I read it. Usually, when somebody gives me a sefer, I try to read the whole sefer. So that's why I remember he has a simple Torah on this topic of simcha. Anyway, but here, he quotes from a stipend who was very machmir, except on Shabbos. Then on the bottom, Hashem was Amar Oyebach. This is a sefer, Ben Pesach Shavuos. I happen to know the Mechaber. His name is Avtzvi Cohen in Bnei Brak. I've met him many, many times. Every time I meet him, he gives me another sefer. He's written, I don't know how many swarm, prolific author. Prolific. Masha. My brother-in-law is very friendly with him. So that's how I get to him. So I don't ask him for the Svarah, but he kindly asked me, Kvod HaRav, is it safe on the Tatil HaLachrona? So I tell him, and then he proceeds to give him the next Sefer. He put that one a year. So he has a beautiful Sefer in Pesach Shavuos. Yesh lechali ben sugi ha-nigunim. She-nigun ha-ma'or le-bikur le-simcha yesh limonah mil-ashir. The songs that you guys sing obviously are songs that lead you to elevated heights of ecstasy and spirituality. Is that not so? I assume so. No? Why else would you become involved in any kind of shira? And so then he says it's permissible. The only issue is music that could lead to rikudim, mecholot, and the like. Someone just gave me a sefer. I was not aware, but now I am aware. Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky, someone actually is a fellow in Lakewood who publishes a psalm of Rav Shmuel Kamenetsky. It's called Kevis Halacha. So someone just gave me the sefer Mamish, and I happened to have read it last night. So I saw that he has on this issue of music. I mean, he is. I'll just read one or two tshuvas. Is it quarter two yet? I have two or three more minutes. I just want to read one or two things so you'll see the tact that he takes regarding this issue. Many people ask me, and this people who have bar mitzvahs or bat mitzvahs or all kinds of simchas that take place now, is there a heter to go ahead and, shall we say, play music? I'm talking about musical instruments. Mikradim. There's no question you'll tell me the minig is to be machmir. That I know. For sure the minig is to be machmir. Can you dance without music? So he writes, Sudat bar mitzvah b'yom shenogim bar mitzvah midina yesh lahatir af tizmar b'klei shir om nam nogim lahachmir ozeh v'al kofanim l'inya rikudin efshar l'akel. I mean, the Pesukim say, Magen Avraham brings it, that for a bar mitzvah you should make a suda like a sudas nisuin. So therefore, it could be midina you should be able to be roki, that's what he says in b'klei shir. There's a question that the Sheva Brachas, maybe they're also, it's mutter, maybe not. I mean, not everyone necessarily, whenever you go to Sheva Brachas, there's musical instrumentation. Is that the assumption? That some people play musical instruments, not necessarily. However, the issue, this is a very fundamental issue for me, and I'll tell you, it's very relevant to even, let's say, Brisim, or Bris Mila, they want to play music. I have these questions all the time. And then one other issue I wanted to mention to you, Mutter the mechanech or mechanech of lirkodim talbidim tarim derech lebudam yom shenagim b'misa. I like this. I had a Rebbe in sixth grade, I still remember. He was a Chassidish Rebbe. And he taught us Perek HaKomeis. He used to draw these pictures of the Shepsel on the board, and we used to sing the Gemara. I remember HaKomeis because of that. I don't want to tell you the Nigunim that we used to use all kinds of interesting Nigunim to sing the Perek. We sang the entire Perek. And then on Erev Shabbos we used to sing, Olam Haba Yis Agutte Zach. That's what I remember. I don't remember much of HaKomeis, but I remember the Nigunim that he taught us. So he says, yeah, Machaneh can go ahead and dance with Tamir Ketanim, because that's something which is obviously, you know, let's say you are exercising, you also is Mako when it comes to that. V'chein Nahag Mechonit, Nahag Mechonit, Mutav L'Shemon Negina, L'Shemo Shalai Yiradei. So you shouldn't go to sleep when you're driving the car. Somebody asked me about, in my shul there's a gentleman who has a cellular phone that has Nigunim. Mind boggling. They always go off in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. He explained to me why that's so, why he cannot control himself. And the guy, the moment his Nigun go off, you think he would put the telephone off. No. He starts gyrating to the tune of the telephone. So must you be redacting? Of course not. These are things that are pretty obvious. Or if you go into a mall to buy something, clearly you don't have to be redacted. Anyway, very fascinating safer. Okay, I guess I will. I was going to discuss something else, but we need another location. Can we have another location?